Oh, my goodness, I tell you what, I've been rained on so many times today. My head has been wet so many times. My hair just barely on top of my head. No telling where it'll be when I get done. And I'll tell you what, I was so thankful this afternoon it quit raining for a while and got over here. Was backing up to the back of the building here. And I decided, well, I better step out and make sure I'm not backing that truck into the building. About the time I stepped out, the bottom fell out of a cloud. And I got wet again. But boy, it's been a good day. Amen. Amen. Thank God for His wonderful goodness. Boy, I tell you what, so many things I'd like to say tonight. I want to brag on the ladies that came up week before last. And boy, what a blessing they were and always are every year when they come up. And work so hard to get those meals fixed to share with our people up there at this time of the year. What a blessing that is. And then I wanted to certainly thank you for the faithful support all through the year. I really hate sometimes that I don't get to be with you but once a year, because I enjoy it so good when I get to be here. I mean, I'd have been tickled to death tonight if somebody else had preached just for the privilege just to get to be here. Amen. Amen. But I do want to thank you for the toys. And I thought about all the little boys and girls, and boy, how bright their eyes are going to be on Christmas morning, that probably would have received little and some wouldn't have received a thing, but what God's people make it possible for us to be able to provide for them. And so I appreciate that with all of my heart and with all my soul. But in case you didn't realize it, I have an ulterior motive for giving these toys out at Christmas time. Amen. We always load those boxes up with Bibles or New Testaments, some gospel literature. This year we put in some CDs of some good preaching. Got one DVD in there of a good gospel message they can play if they've got a DVD player and put it on a TV, you know, and watch that. And we've written them letters and we've warned them that whatever they get from us, they might as well be ready for a gospel message to come right along with it. Amen. Because our motive in doing this is not only to be a blessing to these children, but it's also to share the love of Christ with each and every one of these families. This last year, I buried a man that was saved under our ministry a good many years ago. And it started with us taking toys to his children at Christmas time. And then we got the children into Sunday school. And finally, we got the parents into church. And James Rogers was one of the ones that got saved along with two of his three children. And the Lord called him home this last year. He had moved out of our area, been gone for a good while, but the family called me and said that James said that when it came his time to leave this world, he wanted Brother J.C. to preach his funeral. And I tell you what, I'm so thankful to God that He's given us this opportunity. I don't know what God ever saw in me to save me, much less call me to preach, amen, and to give me a ministry and allow me the privilege of leading precious souls to Christ. I don't know why He would ever allow me that, but I'm so thankful for it. Amen. Amen. And I want to thank you for making it possible for us to be able to continue the work and the ministry that God's given us there. The church work, the missionary ministry that we carry on personally, as well as the printing ministry that God has given us that's supplying gospel ammunition to little churches and mission works all over the Appalachian Mountains of Southeast Kentucky and even to regions beyond. Now, I hope you brought a Bible with you this evening. I'd like for you to turn with me to the little book of 3 John, and I'll ask you to bear with me tonight because I am physically very tired right now. And if any good comes out of this message, you have to give God the glory whether I was rested or tired, but especially tonight. Amen. Amen. But isn't God good? Oh, I tell you what, I love the Lord so much. The little book of Third John. It's in 3 John and verse 11. And this is what he says. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your precious word tonight. And Lord, I ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God upon us tonight. Heavenly Father, I don't ask you to bless me. Bless the word. And we'll love you and thank you for what you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. And you can be seated. I came tonight wanting to preach a message on what nation is so great. And I preached this at our little church several Sundays back. And boy, God turned me every way but loose. And I wanted to preach that tonight. But as our brother was back here praying tonight, God spoke to my heart. And he said, I want you to preach another message. And I want to, now hang on here just a minute, because you may have me marked off as some kind of crazy person to start with, but I promise you by the time I get done, you'll understand where I'm going, amen? But I wanted to preach to you about the time that I saw God. I wanted to preach to you about the time that I saw God. And I said, hang on here, alright, don't leave yet, because if you do, you're not going to know how this ends here tonight. Because if you look at that verse again here tonight, he said, he that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And I read that verse of scripture in my devotions one day, and it caught my attention. You know how you can read some passages of scripture for years and years, read it, only the Lord knows how many times you've been over that same passage, but one day there's something about that verse will just jump out and grab you. And I saw that. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. And I got to thinking about how many places in the Bible that God put in an appearance. Now, listen, there's no contradiction in the Bible. I realize the Bible says in John 1 in verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. But then he goes on to say, the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. You remember in John chapter 14 one day, Philip, I believe it was, said to the Lord, said, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. And he said to them, he said, Philip, have I been so long time with you? And yet you don't know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Amen. Oh, listen, he was clothed in a natural body. But there was Almighty God standing in their presence. And I know when the Bible tells us that no man hath seen God at any time, that verse has to be qualified. In what context did he mean that? Well, if you remember, there was a time when Moses wanted to see God so bad he couldn't stand it. And he prayed that God might allow him to see him. And God spoke to Moses, and you remember what he said to him? He says, Moses, he said, no man can see my face and live. Now, once again, we need to take that in its context. He's talking about looking into the face of God in His divine glory. Amen? Oh, listen, I believe you can see God in the face of Jesus Christ. And the apostles saw Him. Amen? I haven't seen Him yet, but I'm going to see Him. Amen? You haven't seen Him yet, but you're going to see Him. Amen? Oh, but listen, God says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Moses. He said, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. I'm glad I know who the cleft of the rock is tonight. Amen? And when I'm safe in Jesus, I can see things in there that I could never see outside of Him. Amen? Oh, listen, I said I want to talk to you tonight about the time that I saw God. Amen. Oh, he said in that verse of Scripture, he that doeth evil hath not seen God. So there's a lot of people around the world today haven't seen God yet, have they? Amen. They haven't been given eyes with which to see Him. But I got to thinking about how many times in the Scriptures, and it's surprising if you begin to study this, at how many times God has revealed Himself to men on earth. I begin to look. I found in the book of Exodus in chapter 24 and verse 11 that there was a time when God called Moses and Aaron and the nobles of Israel up into the mount, and the Bible said that those nobles saw the Lord. But now, you know where most of us will get a little tangled up on this now. They'll say, well, how can you justify one verse saying that no man has seen God at any time, and then another place says that a whole bunch of the nobles of Israel saw Him? Well, it's kind of like the time when Moses was out in the wilderness, and he looked up the side of the hill, and he saw a bush that was on fire. Now you get your Bible out and go to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2, and you mark that verse and see what it says. It said, "And the Lord appeared unto Moses in a flame of fire." The Lord appeared unto Moses. Hey, listen, what Moses saw was a burning bush, but that Bible said it was the Lord. Amen? I'm telling you that what he was looking upon was the Lord. I read another place in the Scripture where that Joseph, the wife of Mary, the mother of our Savior, how that before that he and Mary was come together, the Bible said the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream. Amen. And somebody say, well, that was only a dream. Well, did that make it any less real? The Bible said the Lord appeared unto him. Amen. Amen. He saw the Lord. You go back to Genesis 32 and verse 30. You read the account of where that Jacob, the Bible said that he wrestled with an angel of the Lord. But after that, the day had broken and God had blessed him. And this angel, and I want to use quote unquote on that, had ascended back into glory. The Bible said that Jacob realized that he had seen the Lord, and I want you to get this face to face. Amen. Hey, he did not see him in his divine glory, but he saw him as he made an appearance. And you know who I believe it was that he wrestled with? I believe it was Jesus. That Bible said, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Amen. Amen. Oh, I had somebody come to me years ago up in the mountains of Kentucky, and I tell you, when we first went up there, and don't take this the wrong way, because I love my people very, very much, but they were really backwards, and they were ignorant of a lot of things. And boy, it just seemed like it was every couple of weeks I'd get on something they'd never heard of before. And it'd just get them all tore up. And I'd have to spend the next 2 or 3 weeks trying to, start at real basic stuff, you know, and try to explain it to them. I mean, simple things, you know, like heaven and hell, amen? The fact that there's not going to be a general judgment, you know. They've been raised all their life to believe that one day the world's going to come to an end, and then everybody's going to find out whether they're going to heaven or hell. I had to try and teach them, if you don't find out right now whether you're going to heaven, you're not going to heaven. Amen. Amen. Oh, listen, God sent His Son into the world so people could get saved, so they didn't have to wait till after they died. Amen. To find out whether or not they was going to heaven or hell. You get saved, that's settled right now. And I tell you what, some of them came to me and they said to me, well, preacher, I don't understand this thing about how that Jesus could be God the Son. That really offended them. They said, well, we don't believe Him but one God. I said, I don't either. Amen? But I believe that that one God has seen fit in His infinite wisdom to reveal Himself to mankind as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen? One God, indivisible, but yet He has seen fit Now, don't ask me to stand here and explain the Trinity to you. It is above me. It's beyond me. I cannot do it. But I believe the Bible teaches it, and therefore I believe it. Amen? Amen. I'm not one of these people that has to understand electricity before I'll know to keep my finger out of a light socket. Oh, listen, the Lord has made His appearance time and time again. When Manoah and his wife were visited by an angel of the Lord and told that they were to have a son, that son became Samson. You remember him in the book of Judges. And the Bible said that they had seen the Lord, and they were scared because they thought surely they would die because they had seen the Lord. Did you realize that, and I'll give you the references if you want to jot these down, in Genesis 12 in verse 7, and Genesis 17 in verse 1, and again in Genesis 18 in verse 1, the Bible, that's three times the Bible said that the Lord appeared unto Abraham. Is it any wonder the Bible refers to Abraham as the friend of God? The only other person I ever knew in the Bible that the Lord appeared to anymore was Moses. And I'm not sure Moses beat him. Abraham was the friend of God. I mean, brother, they had a personal relationship, amen? Boy, if you could just get people to realize that today. That, boy, this thing about being saved by the grace of God and going to glory is not about having religion. Amen. It's about having a relationship with a living God. Amen. And Jesus Christ, His Son. I'm telling you, though, that all through the Bible, and I've got a list here, and I'm not going to go through all of these things here tonight, of all the places that God has put in an appearance in this world. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm thankful to God for the day. I'm thankful to God for the day that God allowed me to see Him. I tell you, I've seen Him in His Word, amen? In 1 Samuel 3 and verse 21, the Bible said the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the Word of the Lord. Now what is, the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel by the Word of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. If you've never seen God in His Word, then I don't know how you get anything out of it. Amen. Oh, let me tell you something. I'm a little bit of a strange person. I know that. You don't have to tell me that. But I'm one of these kind of people that, listen, I go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, and Daniel never has gone down into that valley to fight the giant by himself. I've been right beside him every time. Amen. I mean, brother, listen, I was there when he stooped down and took them five smooth stones out of the brook. I was there with him when he loaded them in the sling. And I was there with him when he slung that thing. And I watched that giant fall. And I watched David pull that sword out of that old giant's sheath and take his head off. And I was with him when he walked through the streets of Jerusalem, marching, carrying the head of that old heathen giant. Amen. Oh, listen. But not only that, I was right there with David when he stood there and he said, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel." Amen. Oh, I saw his artillery. Amen. I don't know why anybody couldn't read the story of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego down there in the old fiery furnace walking around. They weren't tied. Them bands had done burned away. You know what they was doing? They was doing this. Amen. They was down there glorifying God. And that old king's a scratching his head and looking over and said, "Didn't we throw three men down there?" Listen, kid, didn't you see the Lord when you read that? Didn't you see Him down in there? He said, "I see four walking around, and the fourth is like the Son of God." Amen. I'm too tired to get that excited tonight. Didn't you see the Lord? Amen. I see Him in His Word. My Bible tells me that that the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream. In 1 Kings 3 and verse 5, it said, "In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" I've seen God in answered prayer. Oh, listen, I can't tell you tonight if I had another hour just to go over some of the miraculous answers that God has sent to prayer in the last 36 years of my ministry. Things that, listen, they're far beyond the possibilities of coincidence. Amen. When God provided exactly, no more, no less, exactly what we prayed and asked Him for, I saw the hand of God. Oh, but then listen, the Bible tells us that old Belshazzar, he's drinking himself drunk down there in old Babylon, and he was desecrating the vessels of God. And he saw the hand of God over against the wall begin to write, numbered, numbered, weighed and divided. Oh, listen, but John the Revelator saw him in a vision, and he described him in Revelation 1 in verses 13 through 16, and he declared that this was the Almighty. Amen. When he saw him in his glory and that vision that God gave him. But I'm tired, and if you don't mind, let me get to the point tonight and let you go. One day, I saw God. I was 12 years old when God began to deal with my heart. And He started on a Monday. And I got saved on Friday. That was June the 14th in 1963. It's the day I turned 13 years old. And now you can figure out how old I am. But let me tell you something. All that week I was under conviction. Pastor preached all that week. And let me tell you, from the very first night, boy, I wanted to come and old devil would hold me back. And the Spirit of God would deal my heart and I wanted to go, but then I'd resist. Now, why do we fight Him that way? I never knew anybody that didn't fight Him before they got saved. But boy, I fought Him for 4 days. It wasn't until that fifth day. But let me tell you what I saw that week as God dealt with my heart. First of all, I saw Him that week as my judge. I knew the day would come when I would have to stand in His presence and that I'd have to give an account of myself before Him and for everything that I'd ever done and every word that I'd ever spoken and every thought that had ever crossed my mind. And I can tell you that as I saw Him as my judge, it brought fear to my heart. Amen. All today, listen, people want a sugar-coated, polished gospel that don't have any rough edges on it, and they don't want to hear anything about old-time Holy Ghost conviction, and they don't want to hear anything about repentance from sin. They don't want to hear anything about people getting fearful of eternity. I'm going to tell you something. It's the best thing in the world that ever happened to you if you're not saved. Amen. I never will forget some years ago we had a dear lady that got saved and she didn't get saved until after she found out that she was eat up with cancer. And she came to us one day and she told me, she said, Brother J.C., she said, if cancer is what it took to get me saved, she said, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. Oh, it wasn't until she saw the reality of eternity that she got fearful, amen, and realizing that she really was going to leave this world. And as sure as she was really going to leave this world, she was really going to have to give an account of herself before the Almighty. I tell you, I saw Him as my judge and it brought fear. And then I saw Him as my executioner. And let me tell you that it brought terror to my soul. I saw that verse in Matthew 25:41 where He said, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And listen, I know that's not a popular message anymore. And I know, listen, the pastor you got here don't sugarcoat it and he'll preach it, amen. But I'm telling you that in most of the churches across this country anymore, the message of hell is never preached on anymore. People say, we don't want to... We don't want to hear that. We believe in a God that loves people too much to send anybody to hell. They never read the first chapter of the book of Hebrews where that Bible said, "Thou God loveth righteousness and hateth iniquity." Amen. He don't love everything. Amen. He hates sin. And he hates what sin does to people's lives. And he hates the condemnation that sin brings upon people's souls. Oh, but listen, I saw him that day as my executioner. It's as if I could hear him say those words, "Depart from me, ye cursed," and see my soul descending into the eternal flames of hell. And I tell you, it brought terror to my soul. But thank God that wasn't the end of it. Because it was right about then that the Holy Spirit of God began to open my heart. And for the first time, I saw Him as my Redeemer. And it brought hope. Amen? Now listen, I hadn't gotten saved yet. But it suddenly dawned on me that the same God that had pronounced condemnation upon my sinful soul had held out to me the hope of redemption through His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through His death upon the cross of Calvary. And all of a sudden I saw, maybe I don't have to go to hell. Maybe there is hope for my soul after all. Oh, I'm thankful to God I am for the day that I could see Him as my Redeemer. Amen. Oh, then, listen, just about that time, suddenly the Holy Spirit of God began to open my eyes. And I saw Him not only as my Redeemer, but I saw Him as my Savior. He was no longer the world's Savior. Suddenly I saw that He could be my Savior. You see, from the time that I was a little bitty fella, my mother read the Bible and taught me the things of God. And I'll tell you that I can honestly tell you, I do not remember a time in my life that I was not hearing verses like John 3:16. I've heard it as far back as I can remember in my mind as a child. I was taught those things. The seed was planted in my heart. But it was not until that day, as many times as I had recited John 3:16, taught it as a child, "For God so loved the world," that suddenly I realized He didn't just love the world, He loved me. Amen? Oh, it wasn't just everybody else, it was me. He who was to be my judge and my executioner wanted to be my Savior. And He brought joy to my soul in the day that I saw Him as such. Oh, and I came down to an old-fashioned altar prayer. And that morning, I called upon His precious name. And He came into my heart and saved my soul. And boy, let me tell you something. I can't explain it to this day. A wondrous transaction took place. In that moment, I passed by the grace of God, from death unto life. I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. All of a sudden, I who had been dead in trespasses and sin had been quickened and had been made alive. Oh, and from that point backwards beyond was in a dark veil. But now I dwelt in a light. Oh, that listen, I remember a verse in the Scripture talking about a light which no man can behold. Oh, listen, till you have been saved by the grace of God, until you've seen Jesus as your judge, and then your executioner, and then as your Redeemer, and then as your Savior, you're never going to know what this light is that I'm talking about. Amen. I'm telling you that when I came up off my knees that Friday morning, saved by the grace of God, I saw Jesus as I had never seen Him before in my life. He was the lover of my soul. He was my precious Lord. He was the dearest friend that I'd ever had. And if I could have literally reached out and grabbed Him, I don't think I could have ever let go. I loved Him so much at that moment. And I'm telling you that at that moment I saw Him not only as my Redeemer, my Savior, but I saw Him as the Lord Almighty. my Lord, my Master. And let me tell you something, it brought the sweetest peace to my heart that I had ever known. And I'm telling you tonight, that peace still abides. Oh, he said, he that doeth evil hath not seen God. I'm asking you tonight, have you seen him? Have you seen him?